I was looking at Bob. You were looking at me.
You are the chair, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Commissioners. Welcome to our second quarter budget and economic forecast. I'm going to turn it over very quickly to Adriana because people are getting very tired of listening to me say the same thing over and over again, but I'll say it one more time just to be sure we have no money. Don't ask.
Thank you, Bob.
We are on the track we've been telling you all year. We're moving in a positive direction towards our ending fund balance goal, and Adriana will fill you in on the details.
So we never get tired of hearing from you. We are thankful for your voice.
I was talking about them getting tired, Commissioner.
Oh, okay.
So when you say that we have no money, I take that as a good thing. That means that we're spending everything that we're collecting from the taxpayers and using it to the best of use.
We'll hold that thought through the budget process, Commissioner, and there'll be people that'll have some things to share with you. Adriana.
Good morning, Commissioners. Adriana Prata with the Budget Office, and this is our second quarter presentation, our budget and economic outlook, where we take a look at where we are biennium to date with our general fund revenues and expenses, and we look at economic trends to see if they're consistent with the budget forecasting assumptions that we use to build the current biennium budget. And I will start, as usual, with a roadmap of today's presentation. We will do a quick overview of the current general fund budget for 2013-2014, which includes the summer 2014 updates. We've had our latest supplemental in June of 2014. We are going to look at the actual performance for revenues and expenses through June of 2014, so we're 75% through our biennium. We are going to discuss the projections, where we think we will land with fund balance by the end of 2014. And as usual, we will go through the national and local economic outlook and see if the trends are still consistent with our budget forecast. To start with the summary, our current budget for the general fund for 2013-14 plans to use $11 million from unassigned reserves. And that excludes another $4.7 million that's coming out from dedicated reserves, which are dollars set aside for specific purposes. We are forecasting that we are expecting to only use $3.8 million out of that $11 planned out of unassigned fund balance, which would put our year-end reserves at 49 days. We are acknowledging that we are comfortable with a projection of 49 days, but we think we could end up higher, possibly reaching that 52 to 54 days of unassigned fund balance. That's the ideal fund balance calculated by the auditor's office, by county policy. And turning to the economic outlook, we are currently seeing continued improvement both nationally and locally, which is consistent with our budget forecast. So that's the summary for today. I'll start with the general fund revenues and expenses. This is our current spending plan after the June supplemental updates. We currently have $314.3 million planned in expenses for the two-year period, 13-14, for the general fund. And those expenditures are funded from three different sources. Our projected revenues for the biennium, $298.6 million. Our reserves that are unassigned, that we're going to use $11 million. And there's the $4.7 that's coming out of dedicated reserves, which are monies previously set aside. And just as a reminder, that includes the shared record system, $1.9 million, a one-time support for fund balance for the Event Center Fund of $1 million, that was sent over in 2013, $1.2 million, that's the general fund share for the Tidemark replacement project, and we have $0.6 million budgeted in there to be transferred over to the Kemp Bonneville Fund, which is basically dedicated revenue that came in for a dedicated purpose, and we have transferred out that amount to Kemp Bonneville. So that gives us the overall spending plan, which is to use $11 million from unassigned reserves that's not covered from other sources, from our ongoing revenues. How are we doing biennium to date compared with that plan? Currently, revenues are actually running about $1.2 million above forecast. And what we're seeing is improvements in sales tax, property tax, timber sales, and motor vehicle sales. The biggest one there that's running ahead of the projections is sales tax. We are seeing about 2.5% more revenue above the forecast. And if we look at distributions, for example, January through July for the first seven months of 2014 compared to 2013, that's an 8.6% increase over last year. What we're seeing on the downside is a couple of revenue streams. The major one that I put up there, we're seeing a decrease in court fees and penalties collections. And we've met with the clerk's office because they collect these fees to get some background. And I understand there's a new approach where judges are waiving fees and penalties, which followed a study by AOC about collections of fees and penalties. So there have been some changes, and we are seeing that impact on revenues. We have already updated our 2015-16 baseline, the revenue forecast for the general fund. We have updated those numbers with these trends for the sales tax, acknowledging the additional projected sales tax revenue and the downsides. So that's already in 15-16 baseline. And we do update with every budget update that we have for the current biennium. We update revenues, so we will update the revenues for the general fund at the next opportunity, which will be in the fall, with the fall update to recognize this additional revenue. On the expenses side, we are seeing $4.2 million in actual savings through June of 2014. That represents approximately 18 months of savings. And we are projecting that we will see about $6 million total savings by the end of the biennium. There may be additional, these are savings from salaries and benefits. For example, vacancies is a large reason for savings. But we could see additional savings from departmental, what we call departmental controllables, which is that portion of the budget that's under departmental control. And we do typically see savings in those areas, but it's up to the department, and they have until the end of the biennium to spend if they decide to make their purchases towards the end of the biennium. That can affect how much savings that portion of the budget can generate. So we're not yet acknowledging those savings. We could see additional savings because of that area. However, we also might have some one-time paybacks because of some audit findings, so some of those savings could be counteracted by paying back some one-times from the general fund due to these audit findings. So we're comfortable right now acknowledging the $6 million in expenditure savings with the mention that there could be additional savings by biennium end. So where does that put our projections for 13-14 for unassigned reserves? We started the biennium with about 62 days, $24.5 million of unassigned fund balance. We have plans to use in the current budget $11 million of that. We are projecting savings of 7.2, which is the 1.2 in additional revenue above the forecast, and the $6 million in projected savings from expenditure budget. And that would put us at only using 3.8 of the 11 planned. That would put us at the end of December 2014 at 49 days of fund balance, which would be $20.7 million in unassigned fund balance. Again, with the caveat that we could reach the 52 to 54 days if we see the additional savings materialize. But we're just comfortable right now stating what we can recognize in savings, which is 49 days. So that being said, turning over to the economy outlook, overall the economic outlook is consistent with our budget forecast. We continue to see moderate improvement. The global economy is strengthening, but it does remain uneven. The International Monetary Fund is projecting for 2014 global growth at 3.4%, followed by 4% growth in 2015. The U.S. economy continues good growth. We've seen positive indicators for consumer confidence, for retail sales, for jobs. Consumer confidence in July was at 90.9, which is the highest since 2007. Any values over 100 signify strong growth. And it's definitely up from its lowest point in February 2009 when it was at 25. Consumers feel a lot more comfortable about gas prices being lower, the employment market and employment opportunities improving, as well as equity markets improving. So that definitely contributes to consumer confidence, which in turn encourages spending and economic improvement. The GDP declined in the U.S. in the first quarter, which was due to bad weather. It rebounded in the second quarter when the growth was 4%. And the housing market, although it has slowed down in growth, is still doing better, up from 2013. Some of the indicators in the housing market, the Freddie Mac serious delinquencies rate for mortgages, which is mortgages that are in foreclosure or past due more than 3 months, has declined at about 2%. The peak was at 4%, and a normal rate is at about 1%. So definitely improvement, but room to improve. Cash investor sales, if you look at the market, the cash investor sales for homes are down, and prices are increasing, but that price increase is slowing down. And we'll take a look at some specific indicators for the national and the local economy when we get to the housing market section. Locally, Clark County has had a very healthy annual growth rate in employment, 4.2%. We've added 5,800 jobs in the past 12 months. That compares to a national rate of 1.8%, Washington State rate 2.8%, and Portland Metro overall 3.3%. Our unemployment rate, the latest updated reliable rate that doesn't need further adjustment, is from May 2014, when unemployment in Clark County was at 6.9%. That compares to 6.1% nationwide, 5.6% for Washington State, and 6.1% for Portland Metro. And jobs that were lost in the recession in construction and manufacturing in Clark counties have basically been replaced by gains in healthcare and social assistance. And when I say social assistance, I mean caregivers. But healthcare, all sectors have been growing at a healthy rate except for manufacturing, which has been on the decline for many years. But the most jobs gained were in healthcare since the recession. And those are the jobs that have replaced the lost jobs during the recession. Looking at specific indicators for the housing market and building permits and taxable retail sales for Clark County, our inventory was healthy at 3.9 months of supply in June 2014. And that's how many months it takes to sell the current inventory of homes at the current sale rate. A healthy inventory is 4 to 7 months with lower supply in the summer, which is the hot season. So 3.9 months is a little bit on the low side, but that's a healthy housing inventory. The median home price was $244,000 in June of 2014. That's based on the regional RMLS, the Regional Multiple Listing Service. That was up still 10.2% from June of 2013. Nationwide, according to the CoreLogic Price Index, the median home price was up 7.5%. From June of last year. And home prices basically bottomed out in early 2012, and they have been on the rise since then, with most of the gains in 2013. We're still seeing price increases in 14, but they are slower as the cash investors have dwindled out, and the inventory is now lower, not that many distressed sales available anymore. We're seeing a decline in growth, but we're still seeing growth in the housing market. And that growth has been very good for folks' equity, and it has reduced the delinquency mortgage rates. The closed sales were down 1%, actually. If you look at January through June closed sales in Clark County, they were down 1% from last year, so the number of sales is slowing down, but the prices, as I said, are still on the rise. Looking at new construction, residential building permits, if we look at June 2014, comparing Year to date, the first 6 months to the same time last year, single family permits were 835, so pretty much flat from last year. That compares with, if you look at historical averages, if you look at the early 2000s, we had doubled the number. 15 years ago, we had doubled the number of permits. But it's definitely much healthier than the bottom of the recession, where we had less than 300 permits a year issued. For multifamily, we've seen 290 permits issued in the first 6 months. That's apartments, compared with 632 in the first 6 months of last year. And however, this is much higher. If you look at the 10-year historical average, there was 151 permits issued. We are definitely seeing a major trend where multifamily housing is very popular. The National Association of Home Builders is discussing this change in trends, and it's due to the young adults being more likely to rent rather than buy a home as first-time home buyers, and then also the millennials, which are people born in 1980 through 2000, are having a hard time coming up with a down payment and also with qualifying with tight credit requirements. So we're seeing a lot more rental activity, and if you look at projections by the National Association of Realtors, we're seeing projections that the multifamily permits and the demand for multifamily homes will continue to be high over the next few years. And those are the kinds of considerations that we will look at when we do our community development building permits revenue forecasting and workload forecasting piece.
Adriana, we've got the single family, the multifamily. What about business?
I was just going to go there next.
Oh, great.
These are data from the Census Bureau. We don't have, these are countywide data. We don't have any data on the business side other than our own data, which is for unincorporated Clark County from our Community Development Department. And what we've seen for non-residential, taking out all the residential piece, we've seen, we don't look at the number of permits there because permits can vary largely in terms of, there could be small projects and really big projects. We look at the assessed value of the permits that were issued. And what we're seeing is the first two quarters of the year, we've seen $28.7 million, the assessed value of the permits issued, which is a little bit down from last year when it was at $33.6 million for the first 6 months of the year, but definitely up from the previous year at $16 million, so almost double. And then the historical average, I've looked between 2000 and 2013, the typical activity for the first 6 months of the year, $38 million. So we're pretty much back to what would be typical historical average in terms of that activity, very healthy activity in the non-residential permits issued. Countywide taxable retail sales. The latest data we have from the Department of Revenue is for the first quarter of 2014. Comparing that to the first quarter of 2013, we've seen 7.9% increase and 20% growth for construction-related sales. And that also, auto sales have grown a lot in 2013. We've seen double-digit increases in that sector. As during the recession, a lot of folks have held back to renewing their automobiles. It slowed down. It was only 5% increase in the first quarter of 14 compared with 13, but still growing at a healthy rate. And lastly, we want to remind you about the risks. The risks are still there. They're diminished, but we still have significant risks on the horizon. A lot of it has to do with the global recovery, which is uneven among countries. Some of the countries, the emerging economies, suffer from many structural problems and capital flow issues. Countries like Brazil or China or Venezuela that are developing, or Russia that are developing emerging markets, there's a lot of investor pessimism. There's concern about policy credibility and whether their local authorities can actually control some of the economic and political turmoil that's currently happening. So that remains a concern. The other concern here at home is the impact of the reductions in the Federal Reserve stimulus that we're seeing. That may slow growth. The Federal Reserve has been buying bonds. In January, they were buying $85 billion. They started doing that in 2012. To stimulate economic growth and reduce long-term interest rates. And in January, they were buying $85 billion a month. By October, they're now down to $35 billion a month. And by October, they're planning to reduce gradually until $15 billion a month. So that may have an impact on the economy as well. Inflation remains a concern. Some of the later inflation data that came out, there were some random bumps in there. But it does remain a noticeable concern for the long term. And then we have geopolitical risks that everyone's aware of. Those could drive oil prices up, and they can weaken financial markets. What we're currently seeing happening in the Middle East and Ukraine is of concern. Those conflicts can affect the price of natural gas. They affect financial markets. Some of the banks, for example, in Austria or Sweden are very tied to the Russian market and what happens in Russia. They can be really exposed to the risks of that turmoil. So overall, some concerns remain on the horizon, but going back to the big picture, we're seeing that moderate continued improvement in the economy, which is consistent with our forecasting budget assumptions for 2015-16. And that's all I have. Any questions?
I don't think so.
I'm glad that you got your finger on the pulse. So there's no alarm bells going off. We're trending in the right direction. I'm glad that you're fiscally conservative. And at this point, are you recommending any changes, any recommendations at all?
Excuse me. My recommendation is keep doing what we're doing because, quite frankly, it's working. The economic indicators, I think, don't express the magnitude of what we're actually seeing as well as, we feel we're moving, that the jobs growth is much better news than it just seems up there on a chart, but we can't let up. I mean, we have got to maintain this discipline through the 15-16 biennium if we're going to have any hope at all of gaining some breathing room and getting things back on track financially.
Very good. Thank you.
I had one thing I'll bring back having to do with housing inventory at 3.9. It's been lingering in that vicinity and maybe a little bit less. Is it ideal 7%?
It's 4 to 7 months, and that's the time it would take to sell the current housing inventory at the current rate. But it's expected to have lower inventory in the summer. It's expected to be closer to the lower end at 4 months in the summer because that's when people move before kids start school. And then winter is, and that's when houses look really nice in Clark County because it's good weather. And then in the winter, inventory is higher to the higher end. It's normal to be on the higher end at about 7 months. Mm-hmm. Because folks are just not out shopping for a house during the holiday season. So 4 to 7 months is a healthy inventory, and 3.9 is a little bit on the low side. We're seeing a little bit of growth in listings now that the home prices are up, but more owners are coming out that are planning to sell. However, we don't see as many distressed sales and foreclosures, and that's part of the reason why inventory is lower.
Part of that is the higher demand of qualifying for the loan, but I'm always afraid of too little inventory, which artificially inflates the value of homes, which then makes it not desirable for businesses to locate here. So there's a balancing factor that we want to keep in good shape.
Right now we're in the middle of a housing phenomenon that's really never been seen before because it's defying economics, and that is that we have reasonable supply, reasonable price, extremely low mortgage rates, and things are slowing down instead of speeding up. So the national wizards, in their speculation, have thrown up quite a few things, and Adrian has mentioned a few. First of all, the interest in home ownership has changed in America, especially among millennials and the younger generation who have now seen their parents lose a house in the Great Recession. For those that have maintained an interest in home ownership, the banks haven't loosened the credit at all. You know, so qualifying is much more difficult now than it was prior to the recession. So it's kind of defying the old supply and demand laws here, because by all rights, economically, houses should be selling like hotcakes, but they're not. And so there's these social influences now coming to play. And the area where that will have possibly the greatest impact for us will be in REIT revenues, not so much general fund revenues. If the number of transactions begin to slow down and the value of the transaction doesn't increase to make up for that, then we'll start seeing a loss in REIT revenue. But it's not unique to Clark County. This is a national trend in the housing market that has quite a few experts scratching their heads, quite frankly.
The other thing that's happening, 90% of the sales are existing homes, 10% are new homes. But what I was reading from the National Association of Realtors is that the new homes permits are really low because there's an issue with getting loans for the smaller businesses that are into new home construction. It's very difficult to get loans. The bigger builders are actually buying the lots and developing, but we're still seeing low activity, and it's hard for the smaller businesses to do that. And Bob is right, the home ownership rate is at historical lows. It's the lowest in 20 years. It's at 64.8% from the peak, which I believe was back in 2000. I'll get the exact, but it was 69%, the peak of home ownership. And now it's at 64.8%. That's the lowest it's been in 20 years. There's definitely a trend for renting because it's so much harder to qualify for a single-family home purchase. There's definitely a trend towards renting, and that's why we're seeing the multifamily developing, a lot of permits in multifamily housing.
Scott Bailey is your regional economist, right? He recently released a report that I'd like people to see us to also include on the grid here so that we get the bigger picture of how we compare to neighboring counties as well. How much communication do we have with our regional economist? Would it make sense to invite him to join us when we do our quarterly our budget updates, our economic forecasts?
Well, Adriana, I think...
I do get his report regularly, and we correspond over emails, over trends. The last time I asked him, when I got the last report, what explains our growth rate that's much higher than the historical, than the nationwide trend and the neighboring trend, our trend for growth in jobs, and he didn't have an answer for that either, so neither did I. We do correspond back and forth, and we can always have him here if you'd like to have him here. We can invite him. I don't know how busy or how difficult it is for him to
make
it.
That's pretty good when we can puzzle a regional economist here, because there is a huge contrast between our neighboring counties. They're not doing so well, and we are he used some very nice adjectives to describe our trend, how what we're doing right now. So I'm thankful for him.
Just because we can't explain the trend doesn't mean we won't acknowledge its existence and
exactly.
Be happy for it.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much.